Blog Talk Radio.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes and then start all over again clean.
Hey, look, nobody's pushing me anyway, okay? I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody, man. I mean, you want to get rid of the pushers, I'll help you. But don't send your people after me.
John, can't you see that we can't get rid of one without getting rid of the other? We got to come down on both of them at the same time in order for this whole thing to work for the people.
Hey, look, nobody's closing me out of my business.
You can't not choose. Yes. Welcome, family. Welcome to yet another edition of what we like to call Making the Connection. That's not possible without you, so I'm glad you're here. You usually beat me here, so that's a great thing. Me and my co-host, Sanchi Salim al-Rashid, are always here to be able to make sure that we can, you know, as my teacher, Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell said, bring us to a higher level of understanding. And this show is dedicated to him, in case anybody don't know. I always like to make everybody know that at the beginning, whose house you're in, what it's about, because it's his teachings that allow us to be able to continue to understand more, to be involved with the things around us and share them with family, because that's what it's all ever going to come down to, is your family. So note that on this show, you are family, so welcome. Welcome as always. This is the month of March, and we are better than halfway through, so we are celebrating that as we do all the time after 15, after 30. After 30 is 15. Half of 30 is 15. So we like to say halfway through, we like to give some celebration and thanks for every day that we have here. Ramadan Mubarak to all my Muslim family. This is, we are in the holy month of Ramadan and we are celebrating that, and it is a celebration to be year by year to be able to see ourselves growing. And remember, it's all about zakat as well, to be able to give to our family and neighbors and share with our brethren. So without any further ado, I'm just going to bring in my co-host, Hanshi Salim al-Rashid. Hanshi, are you there?
Yes, sir, sir.
Heart to heart, good brother, heart to heart. I'm just telling our family, listening family, that we are halfway through the month and running very, very fast towards April, the month of April. And this year seemed like it just started to me. I don't know about you, but we are racing through 2024. And blessed to be able to count this as another year to be able to represent Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell. We have an event coming up in April. Or maybe that's why I'm in such a rush to get through March. April 27th, the last Saturday in April, in Brooklyn, New York, we are doing the FOS, the Family of Sanukis, or our annual seminar. Yeah, we're bringing that back. COVID tried to put its foot on our necks, but that can't happen. So, because we wiggle through from that and we're back. Hopefully, you'll come out. We'll be talking about the address. So we're going to be in Brooklyn. I think it's 1368 Fulton Street, Restoration Plaza. We'll be there from 12 noon to 4 p.m. And hopefully you'll come out and shake a hand, make a friend. A lot of family is going to be there. So, and remember, you have an official family card, so hopefully we see you out there as well. Yes, what else did you have on your calendar, Hanshi? I know that you just got finished celebrating some birthdays and the like. March is full of that for you.
Oh, yeah. It's lined up, man. Nieces, nephews, my son, you know, they're lined up and, you know, that means I get up early, make a lot of phone calls so I don't forget to call, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But, I, Soki, with all of that, I'm blessed to still have them on the planet and me being on the same plane with them to make those phone calls. So I constantly live in a state of grace and graceful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very populated state, the state of grace. I'm not mad at all of the people who live there with me. So
it's a pleasure. Sir.
Definitely send my birthday regards as well. You know, we're talking about things that we're grateful for and things that we have as possessions or things that we keep near and dear to us. And sometimes, you know, I think like in kindergarten, they teach us how to share. You know, people say, oh, why are you sending to school? You know, because pre-K and all of that is only like 2 hours or 3 hours a day. And why am I getting my kid all up, dressed up, and take him to pre-K? Because he needs to learn how to share, how to be involved, and how to, you know, be grateful to be around people and possessions and what you should do. And sometimes, and this is a hard thing for us from the very beginning, is how we have to kind of like learn to give away some of that stuff that's so precious to us. You know,
that's right.
You know, when we are children, and I think some adults have not grown out of it. You know, they're mine, and it's all mine. And well, sometime, and I know you produced this show, we're saying today, you can't keep what you won't give away. And I'm going to let you dive into that in a minute here and open up our minds for that. But I think our listening audience can relate that to martial art, relate that to everyday life, because, you know, I like to be able to make sure that my martial life is my life. They're one and the same. I don't want to think about them being two things. So I can relate this subject to martial art, but tell me what you was thinking when you came up with this. You can't keep what you won't give away. Talk to the family here, Hanshi.
Yes, sir. You know, in my dream state, sometimes these things float in my head and I can't sleep. But, in my life, I've come to the realization or to the higher level that if I don't teach martial arts, if I don't teach and share what I know, that it's kind of difficult for me to retain that knowledge, you know. So me practicing something over and over again, that's one thing. Me training myself over and over again, that's one thing. But for me to fully understand it has to be shared. That's, I'm talking about me personally. It has to be shared. And with that came, you know, some thoughts on life. You know, if you're not sharing your knowledge or your wisdom, the other, it becomes to me like, you know, unpicked fruit, man. It just rots on the vine, you know. Sharing, you know, in your life, sharing love, respect, and concern, especially for your community and your loved ones, you know, does have a rewarding effect on your spirit, you know. In Islam, we call that zakat. You know, it's not always a monetary thing. It's, you know, a person doesn't have groceries. Do that for them. You know, without return, you know, your friendships and your love for your fellow person shouldn't be transactional, you know, tit for tat. You know, one of my older brothers told me years ago, we were discussing something financial, and he says, you know, you ever see a U-Haul behind a hearse? And I said, no. He said, exactly. And I'm like, wow. It took me a while to understand that, but it's like, wow. So this is what my thoughts ran when I produced this. Okay, Chet.
Well, give me some thoughts on turning that towards the martial world, so we can just keep it into the content of, because I'm definitely getting what you're saying. But you start off by saying you can't, and some people, especially martial artists, would immediately defy you. What do you mean I can't? I can do what I want to. You know, I'm you know, I don't have the word can't in my vocabulary. So when you said you can't keep it, it sort of sounds like an oxymoron. How can I keep something and give it away at the same time? So that kind of makes you go, so talk to me about that.
Well, you know, it's okay. We know that two things can be true at the same time. If I'm on a mat, I'm on the floor, and I'm teaching techniques, the person that I'm trying to impart this knowledge to may do something not wrong but different from what I'm showing them. And to me, I'll get an aha moment like, okay, that works too, but this is what I'm trying to show you. But that works too, you know, or somebody may say to me, well, you know, don't disrespect, but this is the way I was taught that. Or not so much just the way I was taught that, but when you taught me this a week ago, it was this. You know, respectfully, but now you're doing that. You know, and...
Well, no, the quote actually speaks to something that was in my possession. And I just thought I was going to keep it forever. But the qualifications to keep it is to give it away. Now, when you gave it to me, you didn't tell me I had to give it away. So, and I say that because as an instructor, I'm teaching you stuff. I'm teaching you technique. I'm teaching you how to save your life. I'm teaching you what to do when it comes to striking the body. I'm teaching you. I'm giving you a higher level of knowledge. The longer you're with me, the more I'm sharing things with you. And a lot of times, as I say to my students all the time, what I'm sharing with you doesn't always come from my mouth. If I'm present in the room with you, I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you. My spirit is teaching you. My mannerisms is teaching you. You never told me I had to give it away. Well, you just said I can't keep it unless I give it away. Mm-hmm. So what is this, Master Instructor? You're telling me that this technique is going to fade from me if I don't give it away? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Sogan. I'm talking on a personal level. You know, there's things that I have to look at again because I'm not actively, presently teaching. So I have to look at it again. I have to go to my notes. But I know that when I was on the floor, consistently, I didn't have to do that. You see, so me imparting that knowledge on somebody, you know.
Stop right there. I hear you. But now that you sort of quote unquote learn your lesson, why wouldn't you continue to learn so that you can give it away? I got this. I fixed it now. I got my finger on the hole. It's not leaking no more. So I'm now, I see the error of my ways because I bear witness that I'm losing things because I didn't give it away. So, but I'm still drawing air, brother. You know, I'm still, that's a test each morning. If you're drawing air, you're good to go. Okay. So that's the indication, the first indication you're alive. You know, you got to pinch yourself or whatever. All you got to do is inhale. And if you're able to exhale, you're good to go for another 24, okay? So I'm just saying. You got these signs going on to tell me I'm still alive, I can do better. I learned a lesson, and we do know that lessons have a way of taking us to the next one once we learn the one before that. But we will stay on that same one until we get it, okay? You know, so I was just trying to, you know, use that as a metaphor by saying, now that I know better, do I do better? And so now that I know better, like I said before, I was training, and I didn't feel like I was losing anything because I was in the mix. I was learning it and giving it away or whatever. And it's not like the first time I heard it because I've heard my beloved teacher say, each one, teach one. I heard him say that. he wasn't giving me the lyrics to a rap song. He was telling me exactly how he feels about the knowledge that he's given to me. He's telling me at the beginning of the class, or when he would shout out in the middle of the floor, each one, everybody would respond, teach one. All right. He would do a technique, and when he's finished and he was finished sharing that knowledge with us or whatever it was, you can hear a pin drop, right? That was his indication that he was finished with that lesson for the moment. Each one, walk away. Before he could take another step, teach one. So when we were sharing in technique, we were going back and forth, uki-tori, up and down. We were making sure that anything that we got, that we possessed, we were giving it away. And I think that that's what your quote means to me. You know, 646-716-6825. I'd love to get someone else's expression on this as well. To go ahead and rattle our cages, so to speak. But it's a profound statement, because to keep something is to give it away. The only way, because you say, I can't keep it if I won't give it away. I don't know, man. That's like the nickel or the dime to a person that may not be just listening to the words, right? Because the nickel is bigger. It must be worth more. But it's not.
Yeah.
It's very hard explaining to a six-year-old that this one here is worth more. This one can buy you more, and it's smaller. 646-716-6825. I think there's a lot of oxymorons going on in our life. And as you said earlier, you can have the truth in the same answer. You can have two ways to look at something and it still be the truth. I definitely concur with you on that. But when we talk about martial art, how can you keep something? Because you start the statement out by saying you can't keep what you won't give away. That's our subject today, 646-716-6825. Hanshi and his dream state came up with that one. Come pick his brain about this and ask him, is he getting enough sleep or not? Because he be coming up with some stuff sometimes. Hanshi, until we get some hands to go up, talk to me about this thing, that the concept of keeping something and giving it away at the same time.
Okay, it could be. I learned a lesson from somebody was well off, I'll put it that way. And they donated X amount of thousands of dollars, which to me was more than a year's salary. And I'm like, damn, you're going to do. And they told me, they said, I gave away this amount, but this is what I'm getting in a write-off, or whatever they call it, tax thing. So I made money by giving it away. I'm like, damn, okay. Never heard that concept before. Or for me to keep the joy in my life, okay, by giving something that I really like away, something like something physical away, something materialistic away, and seeing expression of the person's face and their gratitude for it makes me happy. I don't miss it. I'm not looking at it. See, if I'm giving you something, Soke, that is no use to me, that I don't like, and it's half broken or whatever, what's that about? I'm giving you something that, as we say, Soke, you want for your brother or sister what you want for yourself. You see?
Now, you had me until you went to that you don't want no more of the half-broken thing. So it almost sounds like you're saying, well, it's useless to me, so I'm giving it away. I kind of took the beginning of your statement by you can't keep it unless you give it away, because the laws of reciprocity is always going to come around. It is, I think, the quintessential definition of what goes around comes around. So you would give it away so that it would come back, like you said before with the donation, he got it back in the tax write-off. That to me is a totally different concept of what you're saying right here. I was under the impression that the person that has it or possesses it is really thinking that it's his. AKA, let's take it back to martial art. I paid you a monthly fee. I came to school, I did my due diligence, I did what a student said, I did what you required me to do. You never once told me, Hanshi, that in order for me to keep this, I now have to give it away. So let me give you an example. I have students that, you know, we still use the Japanese ranking system of senpai, shodan, sensei. Let's just talk about the people who are allowed to run the school or teach a school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these people hold a position of management, so to speak, for your school. Not everybody is allowed to teach in the Japanese structure. But my right. teacher didn't hold that. Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Moses Powell did not hold that structure. He said from the onset, a white belt can teach what he knows. So he's told when he comes in the door, this doesn't belong to you. Your job is to use it to the best of your ability. But for you to get to the next level, you need to give it away. So that's what he said by teaching mm-hmm. one. Man, it was an evolution in my mind with this because I'm like, well, how is this white belt going to teach somebody something? And he don't know it himself. You see, because mm-hmm. what Dr. Powell was saying, the other structure stifles you. It makes you hold on to something to feel that you need to hold that long enough to be able to know it to some proficiency before you give it away. There is no promise in life or technique or dojo or your age or whatever that you do in your lifespan guarantees you that you will make it to a black belt. Things will change. How many people have started in a class of 20, 30 people, and by the time they got to their green belt, it was only 4 people on the mat with them? Somebody say yay.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to know if I'm just the only one that's hearing this and seeing this and bear witness to this all the time. So there's no promise that you're going to make it. So now we're going back to scriptures. We're going back to the way that life has been dealt to us. What does life say to us? You only get one. See, we told you that when you came in here. And if nobody actually spoke those words to you, it ain't long before you realize you only got one life. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That quote you just said applies to that. You can't keep this life meaningful if you won't give away the valuable parts that you have already collected day by day. So if you don't, if you just living and just sucking up life, or you waiting to get to such and such point before you start giving back, there's a problem there, a major problem. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Nobody told you that life was about giving back. They'll tell you life is about giving to the government. They'll tell you life is about giving to the education system. They'll tell you life is about giving to your job. You're supposed to live so you can work, so you can keep a roof over your head. But nobody ever told you you're supposed to give back in life. You see, this statement that we're making here is an oxymoron for a good reason. Because somebody told me once when I was younger, they said the very same thing. That's why I was really excited about this when I seen that you came up with it. Because what they asked me this question, what can you give and keep at the same time? It was a room of us, 8 in the room. And we were puzzled. And they didn't give us the answer until a week later because we thought about it. You know what he said to us? He said, love.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew our mind because you can give love and keep love at the same time. And neither one of them will be without. There is no negative in love. You can give it and you can keep it because it belongs to you. So now when you say this statement here, you can't keep what you won't give away. So I got to look at what is it do I possess? And as a martial artist, I possess skills. Stop right there, Soken. Skill? That ain't a tangible thing. I can't will that to nobody. I can't put it in a box. I can't. How many times have we seen warriors that have left this plane going, man, that was a magnificent technician. Have you ever seen so-and-so do it? Have you ever seen William Oliver do copper? Have you seen Fred Miller when he fights? Have you seen whatever? And we talk about it because we were there to bear witness.
Yes,
but the people we're talking to have never seen these people, have never seen the Supreme Grandmaster, Dr. Moses Powell. And we're saying whatever, but among them, how many of them
understood that they couldn't keep that. They had to transcend it. They had to give it away, so to speak. I don't know if I'm on the right track or not, but that's what I got. I think we got somebody in the back office want to join us. 646-716-6825. Conversation today is you can't keep what you won't give away. Who we got here?
Let me go in the back office, sir.
Yes, sir. Got a lot of things going on here today in the calendar. I thank you for everybody who's actually took the time to press that button and listening on us. I know we've got some people online listening as well. These conversations are designed to make you think a little bit about how things can be a little bit better because we're living this life, the one life we get. So we want to try to get a quintessential understanding because somebody's looking. Somebody's looking at you every day. You stand in representation of something right now as we speak. The internet is out there. You say anything, whether you tweet it or whatever you want to do with it, it just becomes everybody got an opinion on it. But can you stand behind what you're saying and be able to defend it or at least have an educated conversation about it? We can learn to agree to disagree. Hansha, are you back?
Yes, sir. We have GM Carl Matthews.
Oh, my brother. What's going on, GM? Yeah. What's going on, GM? Yeah, you know, your uncle over here, he don't get no sleep at night, so he came up with this subject here. Talk about you can't keep what you won't give away. So I wanted to see if you can help decipher that for us here, see if you got anything on that.
You can't keep what you won't give away?
Yes, sir. That's what he said.
Interesting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I emphasize that word. He started out by telling me what I can't do. And you know, we as warriors, we don't we tell a student that? Can't ain't in your vocabulary, right?
That's
don't we tell them
right.
that?
I use that in my school. Did
your DI tell you that too? Can't. We don't use can't, mister.
Yes, sir.
So, see, so you already messed with me when you started out talking about, no, you can't keep. Whoa. Slow down now. I keep what I want. But tell me if you understand where he's coming from on this one.
How long can you keep it to yourself?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. It really is. I'm a little beside myself on this one.
Mm. Yeah. He kind of perplexed it there. He talked a little bit about laws of reciprocity, you know, which goes around, comes around. But this kind of didn't fit into that category, you know what I mean? I took it back to martial arts. And earlier I explained that, you know, what we possess is a set of skills. But a lot of times we as instructors do not tell students, you do know that you can't keep this if you don't give it away. And I think students would kind of look at us strange and say, well, what do you mean? Wait a minute. Let me check my debit card here because last I look, I paid for this lesson. So I can keep these skills and do what I want with them. And so not to be disrespectful, Grandmaster, but, you know, these skills is mine. We mean I got to give them away. And I was preluding and getting to the point where we know that in our ranking system, we have, you know, senpais, and then we have shodans, who are still not, at least in my school, they're not really instructors. That's why we say sensei. You are, that translates to the word teacher, and you are now officially a teacher. But in my system, I will not give you a senseiship, unless that is very clear to me. That you have now designed yourself to give away what I taught you. Now, I'm willing to still give you more because you gave away. But you're not supposed to think that that's just something that belongs to you. I gave it to you to give away. But I say this because students are not clear with this. And sometimes when you make it clear to them, because they went from senpai to a shodan, and they went from shodan, and they're ready to make next grade, which is sensei. But hold on now. What do you mean I can't keep it now? Because I need to know, are you pledging by the code that I gave you, which was, you know, honor, code, loyalty, which is about being for family and being, you know, your contribution here. Are you willing to do that? And then you buck on me and say, hey, been under you 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. I thought I proved my loyalty by now. I get to do what I want. I don't want to give it away. I ain't got to. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it away, but I ain't going to say it was from you because I didn't pay for it. See, let me stop because I'm going too deep. But you know where I'm coming from here, okay?
I know exactly where you're coming from.
Exactly. So, but again, nobody never told you, and you could, and you would barefaced stand there in my face and say, you never told me I can't keep it unless I give it away. But that's not true. Because I've been telling you all along. I told you when you walked in the door. As a white belt, I told you to go teach your brother. I didn't teach you just to be a Tory. I come do the technique, come do the technique. You had the Uki and Tory. You had to be the guy that's giving it and taking it. I was taught you from the beginning. When you walk in the door, it's a give and take. I taught you when you walk in the door, you greet everybody that's in the room. Because that's the way we give courtesy. You share some of your spirit with them. Maybe somebody in the room. I've had students come and train with me and came and sat down on the side and said, Soke, I feel bad all week. I've been taking all this medicine. I ain't been feeling well. But I had to come and heal my spirit and put it in a place where the spirit was good. That's why I'm going to sit this class out sitting here with you. Stop playing. We know that we have that ability. That's right. We know we have that ability to bring that into the room or whatever and share it. So all along, you've been getting this. I introduced you when you came into my dojo, and that is a fam, and as a person who signed a contract and paid me money. I said, go over there and introduce yourself to your brother. Them your uncles over there. Guess what? We got some cousins that live down in Maryland, too. See, don't start and act like I didn't tell you. When I take you with me to tournaments and stuff, what do you think I'm doing? When you taking pictures with these other grandmas, that's family. How dare you come tell me you never was told you had to give it away? I say that because that's what the statement says. You can't keep what you won't give away. So now you're going to get on Facebook and talk about what I took away from you. 646-716 6825. Come on, stop playing with me.
That's why you say each one, teach one, like you say.
There you go. There you go. You know what I'm talking about.
All over in the nutshell, if the person understands what that means.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's one sentence right there. What you thought we're talking about? You see what I'm saying? But my skills that I've given you is not a possession. I can't wrap it up and put it in a box and say you own it or whatever. I give it to you. But I'm telling you, you can't keep that unless you give it away. And Hashi was bear witness. He said, hey, I left the floor for a minute. I found out I wasn't keeping nothing. It was gone. You went to look back at the box. You said, what kind of magic is this? The skills ain't here no more. You see what I'm saying? You can get a rude awakening. Wake up tomorrow, there ain't nothing there. So
right.
You better understand, right. It don't belong to you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, so, sir.
I remember years ago when my son was a teenager. Dad, he got $20 in those, you know, thing he's going through. Yeah, man, it's upstairs in my top drawer. Okay, I'll put it back when I get paid. Okay. Long story short, goes on. This happens over a period of time. Dad, there's an important party up at the college. You know, you got $30? Yeah, it's in the drawer upstairs, man. Where you got the other money? He goes up there, comes back down. Dad, ain't nothing up in there. Oh, hell, man, I thought you was putting it back in the damn drawer all this time.
That's a good one. I thought you was putting it back. Yeah, if you were putting it back in the bench up there.
There you go.
That's a good one. I, when I see him again, I'll remind him about that draw.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's a good one.
Well, we got Moto here. Uh-oh.
Moto's up the line.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Jumbo Moto, what's going on?
I got another while I'm moving around. I just wanted to, you know, chime in if y'all don't mind. Jumbo Hunter.
Yes, sir.
Jumbo Drew Ambassador. Jumbo.
I just wanted to chime in. I was just listening to this part, and I know you mentioned about, you know, somebody coming in, they said they pay. Well, I paid for it. But I think one of the things that's mentioned in those translations is that what is given to us, even though we pay for it, is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
There's no amount of money you put out there, you pay for it, because if you got one student or if you got 1,000 students, and they all pay you, it's still priceless. Because there's no way
sir.
we or anybody could pay for the actual value that's given to us. And
I appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely. That's how I feel about it.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And the only other thing I wanted to chime in about and say is, like, as you say, like, if you got to give it away because, saying that it doesn't belong to you, everything returns to the earth. So what are you going to do with it?
Come on.
What are you going to do with it? Are you going to leave it outside the earth? You're going to take it down there with you. You can't really do it. So you got to let it go. You got to give it away.
What
you give away is priceless to the other people behind us also. If they don't look at it way, they're the ones with the problem. And that's
there you
I
go.
It's just only on a positive matter on that. When you give it away, receive it. Everything we get is priceless. Like, that's all we pay. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Because what you get given, we can give away 10,000 pounds.
Yes, sir.
You still can't get the equal value for it. So that's just my take on that. I just wanted to jump in real quick.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. Yes, sir.
Uncle Sokka, that's like the gentleman told his wife, when I die, I want you to put my money in the casket. She said, okay. So when he died, she wrote him a check. She told him, I want to see you cash out. And take it with you.
Take this check with you. right. You know, but every time that somebody thinks that they got the value of something figured out, just the creator just makes you understand that, as Moto said, what I give you is priceless. The one life I give you, there's been many evaluations of the human body as far as parts. And I don't care what number you put on it. And you're like, a liver is worth $40 million. Come on now. Come on. No matter what you price it up in pieces and stuff like that, it's priceless. It's priceless in its creation, the way it works. You know what I mean? You need five doctors for a heart operation to be able to get it to move or something like that, when the creator just made it in the blink of an eye, and it works as long as it's going to work. You know, it's, I can't believe these people live to be 125, and they don't have this illness or that illness. We wind up killing ourselves more than our body is killing itself. In other words, we find ways to put it under stress, and it's still. You know, our body is really the true warrior here. It still comes up every time. It's bombarded every day by germ warfare, microcosm. All kinds of stuff is running through us. And we still just come up with a consciousness to be better than we were the day before. Now, put martial art behind that. Oh, come on now. But I think if you just, again, remember, as martial artists, we are spirit, we are mind, we are body. We have to consistently remember that when we make a statement like this. You can't keep what you won't give away. I mean, the mere fact of inhaling and exhaling, go ahead and try to keep that inhale. Go ahead, I'll wait right now. Don't exhale, just keep it. You know, because it is part of life. That you to draw in the air, and it feels good when we inhale. But just hold on to it. Just hold on to it till tomorrow. Yeah. Don't happen. But when you exhale, you hold it too long. When you exhale, don't that feel good too? You're like, whoo, it was good to get that air out. So, I want to feel good again. Better get some more air here. The mere fact that that's happened. You know, the mere fact that we appreciate the difference between day and night and not even be really aware of the moment that day becomes night and night becomes day is to appreciate everything in its moment. And so what is this holding on to and keeping? Where did this keep thing? Where did that come from? How do we possess skills? They're going to leave by giving them away. we actually watch them develop in someone else and we can keep them. You know, this is your custom models, your whatever. You know, you find these prodigies that do this, and it keeps you alive. Cuss said it himself. I think he was suffering from cancer, right? He stayed alive just because he wanted to see Mike, you know, may become the champion, and he predicted. He didn't make it to that point, but that just be the creator's doing. But nevertheless, you know, I suspect that he was, you know, suffering with cancer. Not a good thing at all. But again, he lived through someone else by giving it away.
That's right.
So, you know, we can go from example to example. I thank Moto and GM Carl for chiming in on this one and making some sense of my brother Celine's dreams, because he be coming up with some stuff in here. So we got to keep him on the right track. 646-716-6825. We're about maybe 15 minutes from the top of the hour. I'm just going to let you guys do a quick roundtable here in case anybody else wants to join in with us. But I think both of you are giving some valuable content here through your own life experience as well. But tell me, not just in martial art, you know, because you're both a martial artist, but in your martial expression, how do you talk to somebody about this giving away what you got? I mean, how do you share that with your nephews and nieces and new students and parents who govern these children and stuff like that? Because a lot of these parents are teaching students something totally contradictory to your dojo pledge. Trust me when I tell you. they're not teaching them that, you know. So with that being said, Jim, give me some conversation on that. How do we, without telling somebody how to run their life or whatever, but saying to them, you know, you might want to try this concept because, A, it works for me. You know, I'm a 50-year veteran in the martial art, and this is what got me this far. You know, I'm willing to say that to somebody, that my martial art career is based on me giving away what I've gotten. So talk to me about how you hold that conversation, Jim.
A lot of times I talk about some of my life experiences.
Yes,
if you can give someone an idea that betters their life or motivates them to be better, and I think that's one of the things. A lot of times I'm talking to the kids, but a lot of times I'm talking to their parents too. And sometimes
yes, sir. Come on,
hear what I say.
Come on.
You
That's
know,
right.
Because, you know, like, oh, you know, when I was a kid, my mother said, anybody hits you, you hit them back.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and,
sir.
And some of the parents still do that, but I always tell it to
yes,
them,
sir.
I said, if you're in school or somewhere, tell somebody. If you are
Here
trapped you and you can't do that, then defend yourself.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, this, you know, I'm like I said, I'm talking to the parents while I'm talking to the kids, and a lot of them get it, and they'll thank you and say, you know, I appreciate you talking to my kid about this and that and other, because if they got problems in school and this, that, and the other, you know, that's pretty much
yes,
what
sir.
I got right now.
I like that, Jim. You know why? Because, you know, you just gave me another way to approach my kids. I got a promotion coming up. And like you said before, parents are there and whatnot. And sometimes you can get a point across by asking a question. You know, so I would say, you know, I would say to them, how many people in here think that telling somebody else when somebody else is bothering you is self-defense? Just to see how many hands go up. Because that is self-defense. Just as long as, you know, like you said before, giving them that analogy when somebody hits you, some of your parents may have said to hit them back. But how many of you in here think that telling somebody is self-defense is just as much as hitting somebody? That it's defending your morals, your principle, your honor. It's the putting you in a position that when you do get ready to strike, you have given them a warning. And how many of you in here feel that you, as martial artists, are willing to give somebody a warning, right? Don't we give a yame when we do a kata? You know, don't we warn somebody? Don't we
you know, I've been in the military. I've been told that a warning shot. I've served as a policeman. You know, we give people warnings. You know, stop the police. Well, as a martial art warrior, what kind of warnings are you giving somebody? Are you strong enough to be able to withstand, you know, whatever the conflict is and beyond the warning? Because to teach the children to just strike back as soon as, you know, some kind of conflict comes to them, is getting them to challenge their choices on when to strike. Because the strategy of combat is just as important, if not more important, than combat itself. And that's what we teach inside the school. You know, we're not, hey, punch, kick, stomp, sweep. Dr. Powell says anybody can do that. But in the strength of teaching the students when to strike and why to strike, I think that's the lesson that we can try to get across. What do you think, Moto? I mean, does that work for you? I know you got, like, a lot of football people around you and stuff like that. You think that would help some of your football players?
Absolutely.
I know he's going
to. I think that's right on the guidelines of what we do. And I know, you know, me coaching my kids and chat and stuff like that, always tell them to be aware, know what's going on, because your turn is coming up. And as you always say, you know, you got to get off or kill their intentions before they even do it. And that's the same thing with any adversary, no matter where you're at, whether it be martial arts or whether it be like me with the track and field with the kids that I do, or, you know, any of these other things. I mean, I got an example. I took this from you today. I was working, right? And one of the guys I was working with, I was, I was showing him something to do. And he said, nah, what if I do this, what I do? I'm like, I said, that's cool. But let me tell you, I learned this by doing it wrong a whole bunch of times, so you might want to listen to this. I did it wrong a whole bunch of times. That's why I can do it really good right now. So you may want to listen to this. You know, us teaching them, saying, I'm doing good, but I ain't always getting right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a whole bunch of experience doing it wrong, so let me show you so you don't have to go around that same road, you know. And making people think about things. I think as martial artists, if we approach almost all of our stuff in that way of how can I approach this spiritually, mentally, and physically. So when parents or whoever's talking about, well, you know, hit them back, they're just talking about the physical side of it. And I think that what we do is we forget that there's something else that we should always be saying to them, meaning adding to the conversation. And we're not taking away, you know, we're not telling the parent to stop telling your kid that. But when you said if somebody hits you, hit them back, are you also telling them about the consequences of what that means? Or is there anything wrong with going to tell somebody about something first? And then when you lay them out, well, listen, I got it documented right here. I went and told you,
right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, but I tend to think that these are things we can learn in hindsight, because when you work too much out of emotions, and we know that by being martial art instructors, we teach them to have a calmer spirit. You know, if he's all the way up there in 100, you can't be up there with him. You have to be able to see it, because you will get tunnel vision and see nothing else, and there's plenty else to see. And so I think, you know, we're teaching them about how the human psyche goes, and we're not making this up. Human beings do this. They get mad. They get angry. They don't see everything. They don't see all of the angles. So, but if I'm telling you that this is going to happen, maybe that'll prepare you to see more of when it happens. That's all. We said, all right, our conversation today, we're saying can't keep what you won't give away. I got my guest today is Jim Carl Matthews, and also Moto's on the line with us, along with the dream maker himself, Haji Salim al-Rashid. But he's coming up with some good stuff lately. But, you know, as we look towards the martial art and the whole martial art diaspora and how we are developing in this, I want to call it beautiful thing, and as Moto said, in the world of priceless things, you know, how are we developing that? And some people would argue, well, if I got it and I give it away, I ain't had time enough to appreciate it. Or AKA, how are you asking me to teach something and I don't really know it
yet myself. Me personally, I think that that's a oxymoron. I think a lot of people have fallen into that as a trap of thinking that they must possess something a certain amount of time before you actually know it. I tend to think if I force you to teach it, it's going to force you to know it. And if I'm raising you in a each one teach one environment, you better learn that by next week, because I know Soke, he don't be taking his medication sometime, and he want me to go out there and show somebody something that he just taught me last week. Ain't that right, Moto? Moto said, I ain't been here in a minute. You want me to do what? But he learned to walk into the door knowing, you know, I have a bad habit of when I see somebody peeking through my door as they come in, you know, class has already started. They want to peek in the door. And then they want to come in before they put their shoes in the rack and act like they ain't looking at nothing but the rack, or they looking at their own clothes or whatever. And then as soon as they finish, I said, well, get out on the floor and do what we're doing. They like, I just walked in the room. When you walked in the room, you should have been watching what's going on the floor. You're taking your shoes off. Your eyes are on the floor as you take it. You can't take your shoes off without looking at them. All right? You need to be looking at the floor. All right? What's going on the floor? You tying your belt? You need to look at your belt when you're tying your belt. You need to be looking at the floor. Because as soon as you're done now, okay, show me the last 6 moves of what's going on. What? Because you got to be able to pick up and the real life action, you better be paying attention to the restaurant you're eating in, how many people walked in. You better be paying attention to whether your back is to the door or not. You better be paying attention to the guy that keeps pacing back and forth. What are you doing? Are you just waiting for the waitress to bring you your meal? See, stop playing. Everything is a training op. Everything is practice for the art that we live in, because we are not thinking that any of this thing is ours. It's sharpening us so we can get ready to sharpen the next thing. And we keep on doing that. And we pass it on. We pass it on. You know me, like, GM, you know, we got students afraid to shake my hand because they think I'm going to throw them. They start stuttering. I say, so how you doing? So, yeah, I'm all right. So I'm all right. What are you nervous about, son? You never know. You never know. Yeah, you gotta stay on top of what's going on.
I walk by him and flinch at him and see what they do sometimes.
That's right. Yeah, I want to get them hands up. Get them hands.
There's a time back in the day when we'd come out the dojo, we'd just be walking, me, you, and several other people, or in the elevator or something. Mm. Here comes a shoot, though. Here comes a roundhouse. You know, right. I mean, like, I got my
just
eye
out
on
of nowhere.
You're going to do something.
Yeah.
You're going to do something.
This,
I know it.
And these are your friends. Yeah, these are your friends. Yeah. So, yeah, because it sharpens you. There we go. Sharpening that mental aspect. You know what I'm saying? I talk to people fast sometimes. So, because I want to cut that hump out. You know, what's the new expression that the kids use? What do they say?
Say less.
What did they say? No, not say less. It's like, they say what? it racks my nerves when they say it. mostly, you're around young kids. What do they say now? Oh, no, wait, what? That's what they say. Wait, what? I'm like,
wait, what?
Yeah, what? Wait, no, wait, what? I said, okay, we're getting everybody get their equipment down. We're going downstairs in 10 minutes. No, wait, what? 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 Wait, what? Wait, what? That's like, yeah.
You better put a sun on the end of that when you speak to me. That's the way I'm in class. You better put a sun on the end of it.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yeah, man. But again, they out there. And it makes them think that outside world is more relevant to them than the world they can offer the world. And I'm thinking, why do you keep following everything here when you can choose to be a leader in some things because you do know better? You know, and so give away that knowledge that you have in the dojo. Why does, you know, I'm not saying you got to tell everybody you train, but people should know something different about you. I remember working a job one time, 3 years, and I don't know how the guy found out. And he says, he came in the next morning smiling and stuff. I'm like, what's wrong with you, Andre? I knew it was something about you. I knew it. I'm like, what? Just because I knew it. I knew it. What do you know? I said, you're a karate guy, right? You're a karate guy. You know? I know just the way you was, the way you talk, the way you handle things. You know, I know the way you know when you told that boss, you know, watch how you're talking to me. I'm like, whoa. It's like, you know, it's not like I was doing nothing physical, but he knew something was about the way I handled myself. And the way he said it was a level of confidence. It wasn't that to me. Mm-hmm. It was what I do. It's what I live. I live that way. You know, it's what we do when we teach a student, when they're coming into the ring, even in Kumite. Look at your opponent. Why are you looking away? Look at him. You know, keep your eyes on him. Don't look away. You know, when we're talking to them, look at me in the eye when you're shaking my hand. What's wrong with you? You know, these are things that we're teaching them, this building up their mental confidence that, because, you know, just like any predator animal can make the prey animal look away. Because he hoping you don't really see me because he's about to get eaten.
Too late.
Too late now. So, you know, I think all of this combines to this conversation that we have in here. Again, for those people who just joined us, our conversation has been about you can't keep what you won't give away. And we made a quick analogy to martial art, about martial art being a skill. And most people think that they can keep that skill. And when the skill starts to fade, they wonder why. Because it's left. My analogy with that was students who tend to think they can come and take from you, take from you, take from you. And then, aha, I got enough. So now I'm going to go do what I do. And then they go look in the box. And it's nothing there. Because they then went and collected something that that would only got better had they stayed with the source. You know, that's my little personal thing. But, yeah, they're out there. So if you have a, comment you want to make on this subject, 646-716-6825. Moto, I know you're around a lot of kids, man, and also GM does a great job with his kids. You know, he does these tournaments each year and stuff like that. I think even we can use these tournaments, his tournaments and stuff, as a metaphor in our conversation here. You know, I won GM Carl's tournament last year in 2023, and I'm just going to sit right here, wait for next year. And I'm going to run up in there and get that trophy again. See, because I already won it. Jim Carl gave me the trophy already, so I'm like, yeah, I can keep this. But do I really keep it? What I should have been doing is giving away that knowledge that I had, those things that I thought were special that won me that trophy, to someone else to keep me sharp. Am I right in that, Jim? Oh, is
yes,
that
sir.
A good
yes,
way,
sir.
A kid to look at it. So, you know, get that student there. Yes, sir. Get that student that won that trophy or whatever. Let him know, hey, you know, it's like we tell a showdown, you know you done messed up, right? Because this is the beginning. It ain't over. Yeah, I got that black belt first degree. You know, everybody taking pictures and stuff. And just walk over to them and whisper to them, you know you done messed up, right?
Yeah,
it's about to go down, you know. So I've had parents say that to me. I'm so glad my son has made it. Oh, he's finally got this over now. And I'm whoa, 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 whoa. Who told you over? That was the exercise before the knowledge. That ain't the thing. But again, I digress. Are we really doing that? Are we guilty of that? Are we guilty of not telling people, students, parents, that this is to be given away. How about you? Start with you, Hansi.
Some of us are, but, you know, like you said in the beginning, we emphasize each one, teach one. I was at a seminar recently, Soke, and we had a higher-ranking black belt, doing technique. And lower-ranking black belt said, you know, such and such and such. But, I'll stop there because, you know, you are so-and-so. And I looked at him and said, don't let that stop you. And the higher-ranking black belt said, you know, no. If this is the way it's supposed to be done, show me. You know, so to me it's like, okay, you learned it. You know how it's supposed to be done. But you were respectful in your transfer of information, you see? And I love that. I love that. You know what I'm saying? You're not having false humility, you know, by saying, you know, I'm not going to say nothing to him, even though he's doing it wrong, and even though he outranks me. You see what I'm saying? So this each one teach one is the best thing in life, not just in martial arts. If I'm teaching my older child when they take a shower to clean the bathtub out, then he's responsible for teaching the one behind him. This is what I do. You clean it after the next one. So on and so forth. You see? So even teaching people how to treat you. You see? Because whatever you allow will continue. Check.
How about you, Jim? Guilty or not guilty? Guilty of not really letting someone know up front what the conditions of your knowledge and your skills are about? Because, you know, everybody got conditions.
I'm guilty sometimes, you know, depends on, you know, what's going on at the particular moment. I may, you know, I try to convey to my students that, you know, you guys don't owe me nothing, but you owe those kids and those students that
come
up behind you to help them, just like somebody helped you come up through the ranks. You know, that's one of my main conditions at my school. You know, some people think, okay, I feel my obligation, blah, blah, blah. But the obligation is always there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're trying to make it, you know, we kind of don't want to put a precondition in front of it. You know, we get around the holidays with kids and, you know, we don't want to tell them that, well, it's Christmas or Kwanzaa. You know, you got to bring me an A, you know, because you had all year. Don't be looking for nothing if you ain't give me no high grade. See, we don't want to put a condition on it. You know, we hope that they'll want to give us that in return to prove that, you know, because all a kid got to do is behave and, you know, get good grades. That's the only thing that most parents ask for most kids. Don't ask them to clean the house and pay their car insurance and nothing like that. It's real simple. But for whatever the reason, it doesn't become a priority then. But guess what? Come Christmas, what do? We buy them the stuff they want anyway. You see, but there was a condition there. And then we become kind of complacent. We go, I can't believe this kid. You got to stand up. Then you get the division in the family. The mother's going, yeah, well, let's give it to him anyway. We hope for that. And the father's like, yeah, I work too damn hard for this. But it's just him doing whatever he wants to do, you know, or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Or this become displaced in the family because maybe the family is not thinking about this the same way. Maybe that's why the child is confused. But I don't know. How about that, Mike? Moto? Are you guilty or not guilty?
I can say probably a little bit on both sides of it. Because I know
when I'm dealing with
the kids, I always, I should say me and my other coaches always, whether they're younger or older, because we get new kids every year, we tell them somewhere along the lines of this season, you are going to be in charge.
There you go.
So pay attention. And at some point, we try to put every single kid in charge, and we have a conversation with them constantly.
Right.
And, you know, because they're going to grow, they're going to get in high school, stuff like that. Like, when you go to high school, you already know a lot. But don't have your mind closed where you're not listening. Don't look around like this is right or this is wrong. Do what you got to do and keep working and knowing that there's more out there. So, I mean, you know, on both sides of that, I say I just keep pushing those
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, I want to say how much I appreciate you both, all three of you sound guilty. Because I think we all are guilty of that at some point in time. But here's the part about being guilty. Today is the last day. Today is the last day you can do that. Because if you keep doing that from this day forward, then you're not allowed to get mad at it. Come on now, I don't want somebody to feel me on this one. You're not allowed to get mad at it now because somebody's not doing the right thing. Because now you know. You got conditions with your knowledge. You got conditions with your school. You got conditions with whatever. And I'm not afraid of losing a student or irritating somebody or whatever because everybody knows the conditions. And then once we know the conditions, we can be friends because now you got a choice of whether or not you want to follow that or not. So don't even try to go to no black belt with me because if you ain't willing to do that, long before you get there, don't be mad at me when I don't give it to you. Because if you're not willing to give back what I gave, then okay, go on. Do that over there someplace. But you're not allowed to think that you can just run around here year after year and there is no obligation for you to give back because you tend to think you own it. Or as Moto said, you run around here with some priceless stuff and don't even know you got it. You know?
That's right.
Because just like anything else, things grow in value. You know, what you paid for it in 2006 is worth more now. You know, so it's not even that you paid for it. It's worth more, but you didn't do no more for it. It grows in value. And this is how come we sort of sometimes we miss our ancestors, our elders in the school, because we can't no longer get nothing from them. But we can give what we got. 646-716-6825. I don't know, and the name of doesn't seem to be have any value no more, Jim. Nobody, I don't want to say nobody, but you don't hear people talk about that as often in the name of, you know?
No.
Mm.
No. No. You know, I see a lot on the internet, you know, as far as martial arts are concerned, that you have a good martial artists out there, but some of them don't know where it came from. You know, when you're talking about the fighters of the past or the cats that, we didn't call them grandmasters back then, but senseis that made their transition and the families had to go hat in hand to bury them when at this time they probably have over 1,000 students out there, 1,000 black belts out there. Some of them are making money. Some of them have made a living by what he instilled in them. You know, and they're not speaking that name. Where did you think this came from? You know, it's like there's been times where I've been in a seminar and just talking to somebody and said, yeah, well, this came from that. Really? Absolutely. Google it. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, so this, the how can you say, the gifts that were given with purity of heart and spirit, you see, and those that are the beneficiaries of it have to know that, you know. I had somebody once ask me, man, you ain't driving a Mercedes? To me, I took that as a, you know, okay, that's your symbol of prosperity, driving a Mercedes. You know, but I understood what he said. As long as you've been teaching, you ain't living like this. How many senseis and how many, you know, teachers do you know live like that? I don't know many. So it's got to be more than just, you know, you're going to pay me and I'm going to give you something that I think you need and that's it. It's a transactionary state of mind, Jack.
I always like to give a kinship to a farmer planting seeds, you know.
Mm.
A handful of seeds. It's a good thing seeds can't talk to each other.
Mm.
Seeds can't say, well, what kind of seed is you? Well, I'm a pumpkin seed. I'm a apple seed. And I'm a, well, apples are more tasty than pumpkins. I'm better than you. I'm a better seed than you're a seed. You know, because they both are seeds. They're going to grow into something. But since they don't talk to each other, when you throw the seeds in the ground, one seed ain't mad at the other because it didn't develop. One seed ain't mad at the other because the crows plucked it away. One seed ain't mad because he grew into a tree and the other didn't grow into anything. That seed is so compact in its own world, in its own deed, to be able to flourish into what it can be, not knowing if it can be even, until that's what makes it so powerful. We worry too much about what others are going to do. Is anybody else going to revere my teacher? Is anybody else going to be able to teach what I teach? Is anybody else heard the lesson? I know I was in the room with a whole bunch of people. I sometimes question myself, well, was I hearing things? Well, why am I the only one that's doing what I thought I heard? And why is everyone else acting like they didn't hear it? And it's still being said. Why is that? It's because I need to pay attention. I need to mind my own damn business. That's what it is. My business and my deed is to be able to make sure I'm the best that I can be and do what the code says I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to follow that code. The DNA of something is not supposed to change. It is what it is. You can't get an elephant from a pig. The DNA does not say that that's – listen to me. It is what it is, and it will develop into that by its code. And if its code is about honor, if its code is about dignity, if its code is about loyalty, then it will develop into the warrior that lives by that code. I'm not mad at the people who don't even know how to spell honor. But when I walk with honor and I walk into the room, the honor will be acknowledged. I would like loyalty, but it's not my position to demand it. Because if I got to make you be loyal, that's not loyalty. There's no definition that says that you can make anybody be loyal to you. If I say this code that we live by, then you got to read the code, live by the code, know the code, and I don't have to remind you every day what the code is. So whether you're in a room or not, do you give courtesy to a dark room if that's your training floor? I'm just asking you. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. Because that's the code. It got nothing to do with if somebody's looking or not. Because I'm practicing that which develops me into the person who I know I am. You know why? Because all of those things are going to get challenged. You're going to get, your loyalty is going to be challenged. Will you step up? Your code is going to be challenged. Will it break down? Your ability to be honorable is going to break down. Will you still withstand that test? And guess what? Nobody ain't going to be around to help you stand on those things that you should have been sharpening every single day. It's what gets you through. That's when we will recognize you. And if you think about it, that's what's happening when we're testing these people for black belt. We want to get them to get through to the other side so we can congratulate you. Because no black belt wants another black belt standing beside him that doesn't understand the code. If you're a black belt and you're loyal to your teachers, you don't want no disloyal person just because he got a black belt to be standing next to you.
That's right.
It ain't about the belt. It's about that he served the code. I don't have to know you by name to know your character, if it's an honorable one or not. That will be shown in your actions. You see, but we get confused about what the other person's doing and what they're not doing. Think of yourself as the seed, that your mission is to grow in the soil so you can get above that, above ground, and then go from there to become the tree that you can possibly be. But I ain't too much worried about if the other seeds have made it or not, because we were all planted at the same time. I don't know if these metaphors are getting through to you, but I'm trying to just tell you, what we do here is sometimes stop for those who don't want to come along. You know, we have a expression in the school. We say we wait on no man, but we leave no man behind. So how could you not wait but not leave? So if you, what are you doing? Are you waiting for them? No. But we don't leave nobody behind because we only take the ones that want to go.
That's right.
So we all started the same way. We ain't waiting on you because the mission was to grow. That's to seed this planet. But I'm not leaving my brother behind that wants to go.
That's right.
But if you didn't show me something that broke the code of you don't want to go, and you think that it's about waiting around just because we need to do X, Y, Z, and that ain't part of the code, no, I'm not doing that. Because there's no battle that's ever been won that way. Look through history. Never. You got to go with the ones that's going, the ones that's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, again, the empathy... That we're not saying don't be empathized with a person's situations and their problems or whatever. But you got the code like I got the code. And if I got to stay behind or whatever, I'm feeling real proud that somebody went on with it. Then I gave it away. I gave it for somebody else to be able to go on with it. At least the mission got accomplished. So this thing about having things and giving it away and what you possess, we get too much into possessions. Like you said, Hanshi, ain't never seen a U-Haul behind a funeral procession. Ain't never been nobody that was buried and took the gold with them. And as you said, Jim, ain't nobody, he said, put the money in there. Well, here's this check. You can take that money because that's money too. You know, you just got to keep it real sometime, and, you know, because the mission is bigger than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would love to have more of my brother and at my side that lives by the code, that keeps the code. But if they're not, I don't get it. Why am I supposed to stand and wait for them to get it? I got to go. You know, I'm coming by here. You know, we're going to be like a comet. What they say about a comet? They come by here every 14 million trillion years. They're coming again. But right about now, you gonna have to wait a minute. I ain't say I was coming back, but you gonna have to wait a minute before we come back around here again. And I tend to think that that's what makes us resilient as a people too, as well. You know, we still are, but we were kings and queens. We ran this bread, boy. But you know,
wow.
Gotta go around, come around. Yes, sir. Stay strong. You know, because our resilience is a manifestation of saying that we're strong. Because nobody else couldn't have did this, no 400 years of this. You got to be somebody to go through this. You got to recognize your own deen. And then before, stop waiting for somebody to recognize how great you are when you know you are. That's not bragging.
Mm.
That's not bragging. That's just stating the fact. Stop hiding behind, well, I know I'm great when I go to Hollywood and everybody say I'm great. I get the Academy Award, I know I'm great. I get the Music Award, I know I'm great. You know how many people in churches right now can sing their behind off? Long, better than all these people with Grammys and Mammies and everything else. Couldn't hold candles.
Hmm.
So they're not great because they don't have a Grammy? Come on now. You know, recognize that and celebrate that. And a lot more people are doing that nowadays. Social media is doing that. I meant to tell you that, Hanshi. I got recognized 3 times today. I'm like, you know, because when people like what they like, they like what they like. They don't ask permission to like it. They like what they like. You know, but again, I looked at it like, which I used it for, that was my opportunity to say, if you like that, you ain't seen nothing. You should see my teacher.
Yeah.
See, that's what I use it for. So come on now. You know, but I could have stood there and soaked it up. Yeah, it's about me.
Yeah.
No, not that. Never has been, never will.
646-716-6825.
Hanshi, we have too many more people want to join us on this one, but I'm going to be right back. I'm going to let you and GM chat it up here for a while. Just don't come up with no new stuff, man, because, you know, you'd be like, it's hard to keep up
with
you.
I'm awake now. I'm awake now.
I'll be right back, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yes, Dad, sir. I want to be invited to GM's cookout. I want to. If you see this guy here, man, don't talk to him because he come up with some weird stuff.
You're always welcome at the cookout.
Jim, this kind of reminds me of years ago, man. I used to watch Twilight Zone.
Oh,
and
man.
Just thinking about giving stuff away. I remember this one episode where you had this guy and he was in a bind, man. His family, you know, was falling apart and he needed money. And a very wealthy lady, man, she was blind. So she contracted with this doctor. This doctor could restore her sight if he could get a healthy pair of eyes. So she gave, and you got to understand, this is in the 60s. So she gave the guy $100,000 for his eyes. So the doctor did the surgery and everything, and she gave him the, got the money and all that. And he told her there's a certain time you take the bandages off. Well, she couldn't wait. And she took the bandages off and couldn't see. It was dark. And she started screaming, losing her damn mind, you know, that she was cheated. But what happened was she took the bandages off at night at a time when New York experienced a blackout.
Oh, wow.
So that stayed in my mind, man. It's like, first and foremost, you know, you put this guy in a position to sell his eyesight. All right. And you thought your money could correct something that the Creator didn't bless you with. So you got usury in there too. But the thing is, I've seen several people in the martial arts and visiting dojos, and I'm not coming down on anybody, but I look at their methods of instruction. And, you know, it's with anything else, GM, when you go to college, when you're talking to elders and what have you, your mind's got to be sometime like a sift, you know, like you're making a cake and you're sifting flour. Everything ain't going to stick, or everything shouldn't stick. But I've learned to retain different things over the years, even though I may not be able to use it at that point. But over the years, it's come back to me when something occurs, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is what they were talking about. You see, and this is their gift to me, you know. And I'm always appreciative of knowledge, and I've always been one to drop pearls when I can, if it's proven. You see what I'm saying? And one of the blessings I've had over the years, GM, is for people, adults, older adults my age, older, you know, what have you, consistently tell me how mannerable my son was when he was a kid, even now, what a gentleman my grandsons are. And, you know, they're getting, you know, they don't even live around me, but, you know, my neighbors are like, oh, here's, you know, one of them work at this popcorn factory and brings over boxes and boxes of popcorn. These are for your grandsons when they come over. And I'm like, wow. But see, that's, to me, that's something that was imparted on them. This is how you treat people. I don't care the age. You know what I'm saying? And I know you know that too. When, yes, sir. You know, and this is one of the gifts that, you know, we give to our students, whether in the dojo or whether they're in the neighborhood. You know, this is how you conduct yourself. This is the code of a gentleman. You know, you've been in the military, you're a veteran, and I know you've heard of conduct unbecoming.
Yes, sir.
And in our system of doing things, people wonder why is that person not welcome, or why is that person shunned, or, you know, because they exhibited conduct unbecoming of their station.
Yes, sir.
You know, and if we, in my opinion, if we don't go through life with that, with these lessons, you know. And I'll ask, you know, I'll ask, I seen something recently with somebody says, I told my grandkids and my kids, don't be laughing at me when I ask you things about technology, about my phone, because I'm the one who taught you how to use the damn spoon. You know what I mean?
I like that one out.
You know, so it's like, if I ever hear somebody say, you know, and I've heard it said once, and they only said it once in my presence, about a martial arts elder, oh, man, look at the way he's moving. Excuse me? Look at the way he's moving. Wait a minute. And it had to, you know, had to do an immediate dressing down. Man, you never let me hear you talk about that person like that. You know, this man forgot more than that. Seriously, this man forgot more than you
know.
Ever know.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's like, you know, this man has been in the martial art older than your parents have been on the planet. You know what I mean? So, you know, some respect is due. You know, you're talking about giving something away. I was at a tournament once and ran into some people I haven't seen in years. And we got to talking, and Soke came along, and they said, oh, man, you know, Soke, you know, blah, 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 you know, giving them his respect. So they asked me, they said, oh, do you know Soke? And I said, that's my brother. That's my brother. So, guy looked at me. Said, "He did." I'm going to use a better word, but he said, "That's where you got all that good stuff from." And I just cracked up. You know what I'm saying? You know, because you know this for a fact, GM, and we know this as parents and as teachers. Sometimes the apple or the fruit rolls too far from the tree, and you know. You know, doesn't get planted back in the tree. Even if it falls, if it deteriorates, then it goes back to the earth and replenishes the root. But as far as if it goes too far away, you see, it's of no use. You see, so as you know, as teachers, and I see what you do as far as a teacher's concerned, and. You know, it amazes me every time. Not so much amazes me because now I'm used to your manner, your manner of teaching, your manner of community service, and I applaud it every time I see it. You know, but I know it's only somebody that knows what goes into that could appreciate it because you got to have patience. You got to have patience, bro.
You got to have patience. Cause my first time in my school, I wasn't teaching no kids unless they were at least 7 years old. And like I said before, a friend of mine put me in the middle of his class and 3 or 4 year olds, and that was it right there. I was hooked. I got 4 to 7 year olds in my school. So and some of them give me a run for my money too.
I watch Soke with his younger students. And it's inspiring, you know what I'm saying? Because when I'm around him, I'm always learning. You know, I'm not just blowing smoke because that's my brother.
Yes, sir.
When I'm around him, I'm learning, you see? And I remember once being in somebody's dojo as a guest teacher, and I had a five-year-old in front of me, and I had him in a horse stance, and they're doing punching. I looked down. This kid was actually asleep in a horse stance.
Oh my goodness!
He was 5 years old, man. He just got out of school. So
that 8-hour job is rough on him.
He was dead sleep. I'm like, whoa, you know. And you know, I've taught children, two or three children that were on the spectrum. But the thing is, they gave me lessons. Number one, in patience. Number two, on how to tune the dial to certain frequencies so that they would understand what I was doing, you see. And it's a give and take, man. It's a give and take.
I was rough in the beginning. And
yes, sir.
I've learned over the years You know, I used to go to this martial arts super show in Las Vegas, and it was all about teaching and learning and business. And a lot of stuff I learned there just changed my whole perspective on how to teach children.
That's what it's all about, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, when I said I can't, I found out that I can't keep it. I can't retain it if I don't give it. That's me personally. Yeah. That's personal. I'm not saying, I'm not generalizing. It's like, oh man, I gotta go back to my notes for this. You know, for a while I raised bicycles, 10 speeds.
I remember.
I had a guy tell me, one of my, the captain told me, he said, it's going to take at least 3 years, you know, to acclimate to this. Because we wasn't just riding around the streets, man. We were riding, we put in like 600 miles a week before, before the weekend when we had to race or do a tour, you see?
Right.
And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm a bike, you know, I'm a squad.
We think we do anything because we got the black belt, right?
Yeah. What are you talking about? And these are the shorts you have to wear. I'm not wearing no shorts. I'm going to look like a girl to you, you know. And the first 50 miles I ever did, I came back. I had a pair of cut-off dungarees on. The first 50 miles I came back, man, I had a boil the size of an Easter egg.
Right.
I learned my lesson.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
You had the discipline to do it, but you didn't have the experience yet.
No. I don't know if Soke's back or not. Soke, are you here? No, he's not back yet. But the thing is that in any endeavor, I don't care what you're doing, if you're going back to school, after a certain amount of time not being in school, somebody told me once, a professor told me, he said, what you do is you squeeze that professor's brain out, get him tired mentally, because he's there to teach you. You see?
Right.
He's not there to make you learn. He's there to teach you. So ask questions. You know, like I always told my kids, if you don't ask questions, then the answer is always no.
Hmm.
What do you mean by that? If I don't ask you, then it's always going to be no. And then another thing is, you don't know. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. You know, and I tell people, even grown folks sometimes, even on the job, it's like, you don't accept no from somebody that don't have the power to tell you yes.
You
And I've learned that. You know, I'm going to somebody's assistant manager and so-and-so-and-so. No, we can't do that. Okay, let me speak to your manager. Let's go up the chain. You see what I'm saying? Eventually you'll get a yes or you'll get an explanation. You know? And both of them are good with me. You know what I mean? But you're just not out of the pot going to tell me no. Why? I want to know why. You know? So these are other things and lessons that I have to give, that you have to give. Some of them I have to relearn. And some of them, there's been lessons that I had to unlearn, because when I was brought to a higher level of understanding, it's like, oh, okay. And that doesn't necessarily equate to everything in the martial arts that I've done.
Right.
That equates to my way of thinking. You know, listen to somebody that I respected and carrying that lesson and seeing, you know, okay, I can see where they're coming from with this one. So now I have to change my perspective. Check.
And then you teach that lesson to somebody else. And
absolutely.
It's on and on.
Absolutely.
Cycle. You can't teach one.
I have a brother that's an engineer. And it was my sister's car. He went out to get a battery. So my older brothers come in, and they're laughing their face off. I said, what happened? Man, he's standing there 20 minutes trying to get this battery started. And when I looked around the car, he didn't take the caps off the damn terminals. So I knew this brother, this one brother was sensitive, man. So I walked away before I started laughing.
Right.
You know what I mean? 'Cause, you know, I knew how sensitive he was, man. You know, but if you don't know, you don't know.
You don't know. That's what I say all the time. It's like, and I teach my students, I say, we got this thing called use your superpower. And they first ask me, what's your superpower? Common sense. But my daughter said, common sense is not common.
No,
so, I'll be the richest man in the world. I put it in a bottle and sell it.
So I
challenge my students, you know, to sometimes I'll give them that, you know, how you turn your head to the side and look at them, and they're like, oh, yeah, you just answered your question with the question.
this is good, you know, because, you know, we don't even sharing love, you know what I mean? It's like you're bound to get it back. You're bound to get it back.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's family or just visiting some. You know, I have a habit of all my life, man, of visiting the elderly. You know, some of my friends were elderly, and if I didn't hear from them in a day, then I go check up on them. And sometimes it was to great benefit because they weren't doing well. You know,
yeah,
I didn't call me. I didn't want to bother you. You know, it's like, no bother. You know what I mean? I remember going grocery shopping, picking somebody up, going grocery shopping with them, or taking them grocery shopping, elderly person,
mm-hmm.
in a rainstorm. I got
wow.
on my nerve, but I'm like, you know, you wouldn't have called me if you didn't need it.
Right.
That's my first thing. This person wouldn't have called me if it wasn't necessary. So, you know, I'm doing it, you know, and things of that nature. Not looking for nothing in return because you have nothing to give me.
Right.
You know, but remain in a state of gratitude, you know. And that works for me.
But let me get back in here, gentlemen. I just wanted to be able to give you an opportunity to digest what we were talking about. We only have like maybe about maybe 10 more minutes to the show, but I wanted to thank my guest, GM Carl Masters, as well as Molto, who's dropped off the line, but I see a couple of other people are listening in. You're welcome to join in this conversation anytime that you feel like it. We have had a long discussion here, and GM had read a lot of input towards this question or statement that was being made when we said you can't keep what you won't give away. I wanted to make sure I said each word there because the words here is can't and won't, cannot, will not. And I think it's real important to place emphasis on those words here as this statement. Not so much this statement, but let's think about being careful about telling people what they can't do and won't happen unless they do that, especially young minds, because it can easily be misinterpreted. And sometimes it's a positive thing that you're saying, but it can be make a student question it, but he won't verbally question it. And one of the things that comes to mind is this statement here. You can't be great unless you are humble. See, so that's a positive statement. Because everybody wants to be great at something unless you be humble. So, again, just like we're saying here, you can't keep what you want without giving away. So you understand what I'm saying? The question, the statement is still doing those same things. They're making a statement, and sometimes a student will just look at you with a blank look and never question what you just said. When you know that humility is a great thing to have as part of your greatness, but to tell them that they can never be great unless they become humble is to make a demand on what it is to be humble. What is humility? And how do you go about thinking about yourself being a humble individual? Now, we've seen a lot of people who call themselves great. You know, we know the great Muhammad Ali. we can even put Mike Tyson in that greatness thing. But Mike Tyson was nowhere near humble in the beginning of his training. Mm-hmm. And he actually later on professed, manifested, and said, you know, I don't know, I've heard Mike Tyson make statements like, I'll eat your baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Mike Tyson say and do something, bite a person in the ear off. These things have nothing to do with humility, but nevertheless, he was called great. And great at the skill that he possessed without denial. In boxing, yes, great. We've seen Floyd Mayweather Jr. do some great things, 50-0. But before he even got to 50-0, he did some things that were not humble. They had no humility in it. He disrespected his father on camera.
Yes.
He put his personal life out there. There was no humility in his actions at all. And then later on, you know, he made amends with his father and things of that nature. But it took away from his greatness because there was no humility. But nevertheless, he was still considered to be great. The point I'm making here by using these people as an analogy is that we as instructors make statements a lot of times. And because we tend to think that we want the student to get to the latter part, which is the humility, we know that they want to be great, but we put a condition in there that does not necessarily say that you have to have this before that, because humility is learned. You become humble. I'm going to say it again. Whenever we talk about humility, we say in becoming humble, to understand what it is to be humble, to have empathy, not necessarily sympathy. You know, we have to kind of get to the definition of these things that we lay out as a pattern for a condition to be something. In my school, there's no warrior in here that does under less than 400 kicks. Is that right? Yes, sir. Everyone in here does at least 50 push-ups before we do anything. Yes, sir. This is part of our greatness. Yes, sir. We are not a weak school. Yes, sir. We can never be weak. Yes, sir. We are the strongest school because we are the most honorable school. Yes, sir. A lot of great affirmations there.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them are to be expanded upon to just say because you do the push-ups, because you do the kicks, because you do whatever, that's what makes you the most honorable school? See, you can believe that, but how much do you show that? How many great champions that you've seen? See, one thing about martial art when it comes to championships, it humbles you real quick. You could be grand champion this week and not even play next.
That's right.
Am I right or am I just making this up?
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
So I mean, so your greatness extends upon what level? And this is a humbling experience. You just said I was grand champion. For what?
Was. Past tense.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in the practice of that, where is the humility? Where is the humility that I've seen back in the day when I was in tournaments, when somebody got a point on me, and even though there may be some favor to me or my school or my teacher, that I humbly gave the trophy to the guy I knew that scored on me.
Mm.
I humbly bowed to the Chief Simba. No, he got me after they gave me the point. You see, the humility and knowing and understanding that this tournament is only here to make me sharper on every level, to make me, I'm happy that this guy is standing across from me. Even when I beat him, I'm still humble. But now, I'm throwing my helmet down. I don't touch gloves. Where's the humility in that? But we call you the greatest of all times. Where was the humility in that? So, again, to say you can't be great without humility is to be able to say, when do I become great? You start out by being humble, and it never leaves you. So you don't have to get there, is the point I'm making. Too many times we tell the student that you'll get this if you do that. Well, how about doing that before you get this? I don't know. Just a question. We sometimes got to really evaluate our position. This is why I complimented you gentlemen earlier in the conversation about humbly saying, yeah, I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I've been a part of that. But I'm here today to say I learned from that.
Yes,
and
sir.
That I become my own police to police myself on the action, not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. And too many times that we have missed that in our own lessons and our own explanation of something. Because we, I don't want to say forgot, but we step away from that which got us this far. Because, you know, let's face it, it's better being the supervisor on the job than the worker on the job. Or is it just me?
No, you're right.
I agree.
Okay. And it's even better to be the boss on the job, or is it just me?
Much better.
It's probably even better to be the landlord to the place that you are doing your business in, or is it just me?
Oh, landlord.
Okay, so there's a better position. Yeah, there's a better position no matter where you're at to be better than you are. But to get the ultimate to position is to be righteous, because righteousness is the closest thing to godliness. The righteous man walks the path closer to God. That's why we walk the path. But if you don't understand that, you're just thinking that your path is about trying to build a bigger house, run the house, be the owner of the house, or whatever. That's not the mission. Those are just the journeys. That's the journey that we do, to become better. If we know better, we do better. So when we make these conditions for others to follow, it's got to be based on what we did to get to where we at. How you going to tell somebody what to do when you ain't even doing? I'm just saying.
Yes,
so what we got to understand these little quotes like that. I don't know about you, but it opens up my mind to think about things on a different level, because we got to understand that it ain't even about whatever happened to us before. It surely ain't about what's happened to us right now, because now going to be what happened before in a minute. We have no idea what's going to happen to us in the next minute. So do the math on that. Make the best of what you have so you can share it with the people that's coming behind you, whether in one way or another. And sometimes just your presence is enough. I like to think that's why we, it's part of our sorrow when we hear that someone's going on to the next plane, because we can't benefit from that spirit no more. Because we do. We already knew the body would leave us. And if the body left, more likely they can't talk to us no more neither. So what's left?
That's right.
The same thing that was in the beginning, the spirit of the person. Why? Because that's energy. And energy cannot be destroyed. Now, how come we know that lesson, but we don't advocate towards that lesson and what we teach and what we do? Because the same energy you had at 20, Celine, and damn sure it's the same energy you got now. But it's still energy.
Hey,
thank
that's
you, sir.
The truth. I'm
thinking
for myself.
You in there
since
you did that. Yes, sir. I'm quite sure that a whole bunch of people could identify with that. But nevertheless, it's energy. You see? So let's not forget that. But how are we making the best of this energy that we got here? Till the last minute that we are no longer in possession of this energy in this shell. It don't mean it went nowhere. It just went someplace else. Right? So how much do we benefit from that? So I said, how do we know this now? We know this to be true. Because no man born of a woman stays here forever. We know this. But we don't advocate towards a greater truth. And we don't live a what I call a NOVA life, N-O-V-A, a NOVA. I want you to look that up. A NOVA is a star that burns so bright.
Burn yourself out, doesn't it?
Come on now, teach. You see what I'm saying? So you want to live that NOVA life that is just so bright until it's just, you never think it's ever going to go nowhere, until it just ain't there no more. Well, regular stars do the same thing, and they ain't there no more neither, but But you notice the nova, okay? So you're here for a reason. Make your reason shine. Yes, sir, Jim.
That reminds me of something I read one time. It says a candle. A teacher is like a candle. It will consume itself to light the way.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's powerful. I like that. You know, speaking of the candle, of the analogy that I was given one time by, I'm not even going to say a wise man, because it was a teenager. The person was younger than me and was explaining the power of being in a room with a dark room with 20 candles and only one was lit. And he took the first candle and lit the second one. And I seen there was two candles in the room. Well, there were 18 more in the room, but until the second candle lit the third candle, I wasn't able to see that one. And then I just kept seeing candles as one candle lit another. But the power in it all, when all 20 candles was lit, it only took the flame from one to light the whole room.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
That's what I said.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
That's exactly what I said. And it took no power from the first candle to light the second. But the room was now lit with 20 candles, with only one candle lighting the whole room so that we can see the others and more from that. So, you know, we can use these analogies to get us to understand that we are more powerful than we can ever imagine ourselves or see ourselves to be. We just got to utilize it. When they say that about the human brain, what is it we use? What is it, 2%? What, 20%? What was it? It wasn't 100.
20%.
I remember that. How much?
20%, I believe.
20% of our brain. Not you or me or GM. Humans. Mankind. 20% of our brain. So to me, you know what that almost says to me? We're teaching our offspring to use just 20. We're not even teaching them that you can get more than that. And anybody that uses more than that, we got the nerve to call them a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And their brains ain't no bigger than ours. But we give them credit for something. And again, I'm in total admiration of a genius, because they can do things with their mind that I can't. But it doesn't mean I can't stretch my horizons to know more. And if we think about it, the people born in the 1930s knew more than people in the 1920s, more people in the 1910 and the 200. So every 10 years, you know, if you look at the evolution of our progress, there's really something a little bit newer than it was before. This is how come older people are going, oh, that newfangled thing, that newfangled telephone. Telephone I've had, you had to crank up the box, put the thing to my ear, and that's a telephone. Telephone I got, you had to stick your finger in there and turn it around on the dial.
Turn it around.
At least still got. At least still got that one. I had to tell him the other day, brother, we don't use that no more. You know? But in all honesty, I have to confess myself, when a smartphone came out, I asked the question, what makes it so smart? Because I'm an old timer too. But you got to understand that the evolution of the mind and concept, because, you know, we ain't going to need no phone 10, 20 more years from now. We just going to snap our fingers, dial Celine.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that right now. So we got to, yeah. But like Doc said, we got to move. Dial Celine. I mean, that's Siri. What's on my phone? Yeah, is this
Alexa.
Siri? Yeah. No, that's Alexa on the house.
Right.
No, that's on the house.
Bixby on my phone.
Yeah, Bixby. That's the one, Bixby.
Yeah.
So I that's how I dialed you today, brother. I said, hey, you can call Celine. Calling Salem. I said, they got to learn how to pronounce it, though. Yeah, but it ain't going to be long before it all becomes where computers are correcting us on we're the creator, but it's correcting us on different. It already does that. Try writing something and spell it the wrong way. You get a big red line up under your stuff. Say, yo, that ain't how you spell that.
No, that's right.
You got robots when you go apply for something are asking you, do this and let me know that you're a real person. But you're talking to a damn robot.
robot wants to know if you're real. Right. Talking about the pot calling the kettle black, right?
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I love these conversations, man.
Yes, sir. Again, GM, I always appreciate you stopping through, man. And, I see a couple other people online, this family. They probably just listening in. So it's a great thing to have you family here as well. Moto does a great job of promoting the show as well as Celine each and every Friday. So I'm thankful to have you guys in my space, living in a state of gratitude. It's a beautiful place. Let's just try to keep it green up in here. And, like I said, my message is today and always, let's just focus on what we know to be the right thing and do it. Thank you, GM, for becoming part of the Code Keepers. I'm going to give you some more information on that a little bit later on as well. Yeah. And that's just a conceptual thing, all right? We know who we are. We ain't trying to recruit nobody or anything. We understand what a code is. We understand what it is to live by something. We understand to give your word to keep it. We understand those things that mean so much to us, honor, code, and loyalty. We understand those things. So it ain't no big conversation and it's elephants and parades and balloons. It's either you're a code keeper or you're not. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on as well because, it's a powerful thing when you got a lot of minds in the room that understand that there's a mission. And while we're standing here talking about it, let's get it done. So whatever it is, we want to be those type of people who want to understand lock and load and going out and getting any job done. And I think that's it. We use martial art as a catalyst to recognize us, but it really is our cape and disguise, so to speak. You know, Superman went in the phone booth. They don't make phone booths no more, but, you know, he still know how to be Superman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we ain't trying to act like we need no phone book for no superpowers, and we don't have no alter egos where we – 1 minute one way and 1 minute another way, we Superman because we Superman. And I think we owe that to the next generation because it's fading fast. Our generation have no one to look up to. Everything is in question nowadays. You know, who you are, who you want to be, who you look up to, and what you're being told to do is not the popular thing to do, or it's the popular thing to do, and you're not a critical thinker. You're not understanding. You have to be able to forge your path to make sure that it's part of the code you came from. I mean, to me, it's a simple equation, but to others, it's what they call a new math, and they got to try to figure it out. But I'm glad to be in the company of brothers like yourself. Let's just keep that up, keep doing what we're doing. It is recognized here. I see it and I feel it all the way over here. So until next time, may your good be better and may your better be blessed. Eye to eye.
Yes. Eye to heart.
Yes. A-I-O.
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 All the way.
Don't give him no peace, and if you don't mean it from your heart. get an equal share. And until you're giving him back, there'll be no peace.